You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's that book you've been reading about?
It's about heroes who get to go on adventures, defeat the monsters, and save the day. Little boy from the south side of Chicago, the only tourist to get to do that.
This story is about my father
and the secret birthright that's been kept from us.
You're going after it.
We're going to need the car.
He's gonna stand there, Tick?
This is family business. Can family stay together?
Bad for my health, scared for myself.
Just because they don't want you here doesn't mean you're not supposed to be.
Gotta get away.
This is an invitation to unmitigated hell.
Where in the hell did I go wrong with you, boy? I told you to stay away from that damn place.
There's something here. Just trying to get out.
Everything is where and as it should be. From God to man to creature.
We're surrounded by monsters. I'm doing this to protect us.
You can't win this game. They set enough for you to play.
This legacy belongs to our family.
We gotta face this new world. And stake our claim in it.
This is our family story.
Hello, and welcome to Lovecraft Country Critical. Cue cheers from the other people on the podcast.
Hello.
Yay.
this is a brand new podcast brought to you by the Fan Critical Podcast family, covering the new HBO show Lovecraft Country. We have had a pretty dry spell of TV lately, so this coming out in August is pretty bloody exciting for us to have something to cover, but for everyone to have something to watch that's decent. And actually for those people who like Matt Ruff, whose novel this is based on. So I'm going to be your host for Lovecraft Country Critical, which is a mouthful I'm going to have to get used to saying. My name's Emma, hi. And today I'm joined by Len, who is just finishing listening to the audiobook of Lovecraft Country.
Yeah. Why are you saying that? You're saying I can't read or something?
Yeah.
It's slagging me off before it's even started.
Yeah,
this is unbelievable.
That's how we go.
Got it.
Yes, hello everybody. I do prefer the audiobook from time to time. Useful for like things like running or falling to sleep occasionally. So yes, I'm almost finished. On the penultimate chapter probably. So
falling asleep, no big deal. Running? Why would you listen to a fucking audiobook?
Let not go running through woods listening to this.
No, unfortunately not. And in fact,
so little
tidbit for you, because I'm back in lockdown here in Melbourne, because Melbourne's gone insane. We have to run with masks now. So it's very difficult. Mm. I will say that. So masks and Lovecraft Country as I run.
Brilliant.
Anyway.
I mean, that sounds awful. That other voice that you hear there is our Shonley. It's John.
Hello there. That's it. That's all I've got to offer.
You might remember John from such fame as The Watchmen Watches.
Yeah.
Right, John?
Yeah.
Part of the legendary Three Minutemen, I believe.
Mm.
Yeah. One of them we had to get rid of, but... So.
Poor little fella.
So we're going to do a preview podcast today where we're going to talk about the trailer that came out yesterday, full trailer. We talk a bit about the book, mm-hmm. some kind of Lovecraftian background, and our hopes and fears for the series, because I'm sure we've got lots of both of them.
Oh, lovely.
But I think first...
Very hopeful.
I'm very hopeful, which is unusual for me. John, are you hopeful? Mm.
Usually yes. Quite morbid, aren't you?
Yeah, me, morbid.
John's the one who's usually very upset, so...
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. It's a HBO production.
Yeah.
So automatically it's, you know, four bloobs minimum.
Minimum. Well, John, do I need to remind you of Westworld this season?
Yeah, well, I mean, the first season was good. If we were talking about Lovecraft Country season 8, then I'd be like, this is going to be a shit show.
Yeah.
But... Yeah, I'm very hopeful, definitely.
Yeah. You mentioned that. HBO, which is fantastic, and actually the team behind it are amazing as well. So we've got Jordan Peele, Misha Green, and J.J. Abrams. J.J. I'm always a bit worried about, because he does tend to stick his foot in things.
Mm. Fucked up Star Wars, didn't he?
No, he just puts his name on everything. And I think
that, sounds
that
cool.
lends itself to
it.
A bit of... Yeah, essentially, if it's anything sort of science fiction related and a little bit horror-y, he seems to like putting his stamp on it. You know, and JJ did Castle Rock. We talked about this in our little intro podcast, but JJ was involved with Castle Rock, a show that we covered for its two seasons so far. And we still have Castle Rock Critical, one of our other podcasts. But, you know, that show, Castle Rock, in its first season, I think will have a lot of similar sort of feel to it at times to what I expect this show to be, to be honest with you. But this is a bit more fantastical, you know. This will lend itself more to sort of actual, you know, there's a lot of mystery with Castle Rock, and yeah, there's mystery with this as well, but I think some of the things you see will be quite explicit in terms of, oh, that is a monster. You know,
oh, look, that is really definitely a monster, an actual big monster with tentacles coming out of its
an
head.
Actual monster.
Big monster, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really interesting concept. So, you know, if you've listened to our baby preview podcast, we talked about the fact that it's like science fiction, horror, 1950s, Jim Crow America, which is really, really interesting. But I want to know kind of what it is that we're excited about. I mean, John, I sent you the trailer back in June, the first like teaser trailer that came out, and you seemed pretty excited about it. What was it that gripped you and made you want to watch this show?
Well, I love a tease, don't I? You know, I'm like... it was just a very fucking cool trailer, wasn't it? You know, it's fairly grim. Casting my mind back to the teaser trailer, we've got the main character on the bus, and we've got this is the segregated area. And you're like, okay, so this is mm-hmm. very. I am going to mention Green Book quite a lot, but
which is interesting.
I mean, because it is like very similar to the film, and obviously the Green Book is just going to be flowing throughout mm-hmm. this story, as I understand. I haven't read the book, obviously, or listened to mm-hmm. a little children's audio tape. But it's just, well, it looks slick, doesn't it? You know, you've got a good cast.
Yeah.
The music is spot on of that era. It's got a mixture of like, fucking hell, this would be quite cool to live in this era. And then you've got fucking loads of racists everywhere, and you're like, it wouldn't be that good.
Actually,
I thought it looked, I thought it looked good. It looks slick. And to be honest, maybe it's biased because of the whole HBO thing. As soon as you see that stamp, you're like, oh yeah, they've spent some cash monies on this. This isn't going to be fucking, I don't know, ABC or something. Having a go at them.
The Walking Dead.
Yeah,
I think the word slick.
Yeah, AMC.
Yeah, I think like the word slick is spot on, because it just looks immense and perfect. Mm. It's beautiful. Like the first teaser trailer just looked amazing. The music behind it, which you mentioned, just kept that kind of tone of up and down, excitement, a little bit of jump. And yeah, actually some of it was pretty scary already, even in that teaser. Well, there were two of them, which were pretty similar. So when I said, can we podcast on this? We're like, yeah, absolutely. So then I went off and I read every single thing that H.P. Lovecraft has ever written. And then I read the Matt Ruff novel.
Don't read it all.
And we'll talk a bit more about Lovecraft in a bit, because I've got some serious things to say about that man. But the novel that this is adapted from is insanely good. I loved it. It was amazing. I read it in like 4 hours yesterday. And it's so beautifully written, and it's got this really interesting environment or setting, which you can see in the trailers, which you just wouldn't expect to see. There's a really interesting commentary on like Black African-American science fiction fans in the 50s, because they were,
yeah, 100%,
like trying to, I suppose, not consolidate, but trying to kind of coincide being so different from the heroes of those stories, and yet finding so much solace and excitement in them at the same time.
It's interesting, because it's like, and it's no spoilers for the book, and I'll say this now, like when we do the, and I'm sure Emma will be the same, we're going to have our own dedicated book section at the end of each podcast, which is going to refer to each episode and refer to what we've seen and how it compares to the book. But we're not going to spoil anything. But safe to say that like science fiction writing and like novels by famous science fiction writers is very prevalent in this book. Mm. And the main character, Atticus, loves science fiction, you know, and grew up reading these novels. And that for me is very interesting. Like you said, Emma, it's something that, you know, there's several instances in the book where like, this is near the start, so it's not a spoiler, but he gets stopped, and they search his trunk and they find these science fiction novels, and they're like, these can't be your novels. You can't read this sort of material, you know, like John Carter of Mars sort of stuff, you know, where Atticus loves that sort of stuff. And so does George, one of the other central characters, and his dad, even Montrose, like read some of that stuff, mainly to belittle his son at times. But it's just fascinating to see his interest in this otherworldly, in these otherworldly stories. And then he finds himself in this otherworldly story, which I love. And that's a fantastic element of the book. So no spoilers for it. That's literally near the start, and it's kind of the premise of the book. But
that's so fucking spoiled it, isn't it?
Spoiled it, ruined it. Sack it off. Sack it off.
Did you watch the first episode? No, but did he get pulled over and he had comics in his boot? Yeah, that's exactly what happened in the episode. Yeah, didn't need to. Did something else. Watched EastEnders instead.
Wait, it's interesting, in the first two teasers, they talk a lot about, and there's a couple of quotes from Atticus about how he grew up loving these heroes in these science fiction novels. And like that really cements his love for it. And actually anyone who looks at this and goes, oh, Lovecraft Country, you know, it's got some kind of link back to that kind of story. And I think it's exciting. Like, I'm absolutely buzzing to watch this. There's not been decent TV for a long time. And this is, I mean, he published Matt Ruff published the novel in 2016, I think, and HBO almost immediately snapped it up for adaptation, which is incredible. So, I mean, it just shows you how good a book it is.
Buy anything, though, didn't they?
Yeah. Just get it all with their money. Yeah.
Buy that. Might
HBO
be good.
Are looking for, they're still searching for something to have the pulling power of Game of Thrones, which obviously is their biggest property. And ever since, you know, we covered that, you know, we're diehard fans. You know, check out Bastards and Broken Things, yeah? Mm. If you want to go back and listen to our Game of Thrones podcast. they're searching, so they're buying up loads of stuff. Everyone thought Westworld was where it's going to be. And unfortunately, you know, me and John cover Westworld, and it's just fallen down. It's just fallen down in season 3 and rubbish, season 2 a bit, to be honest. And now it seems like they're buying a lot of property, and I think this is a fantastic sort of world that they've purchased the rights to. So, you know, we'll see where this goes. I mean, look, we'll talk about hopes and fears later and whether this has scope to be a multiple season project, but who knows.
So here's a question as a Shonley, Is there enough material here for it to be more than just like a limited series?
So this is a bit difficult to answer because the book itself, and we'll talk about that obviously in a bit more detail, is split into multiple stories from different perspectives or different characters.
Right.
And they all kind of stand alone but have a kind of theme that runs between them. Now, from seeing the trailer yesterday, I can already see quite a few of those already in this series. And I think there could be enough for two series. It might be perfect as a one series. I don't know. I mean,
and this is something difficult. This is something like, obviously we covered Watchmen, and that is something that we were praying for more material because it was so great.
Yeah.
But looks like it's only going to be one season. And you know what? Sometimes like Westworld, for example, is a perfect example where you need one season and that could actually be fine.
Mm.
You know, you could leave it after that first season of Westworld and go, oh, that was actually one of the best seasons of television ever.
Mm.
And Watchmen is the same. Like Watchmen, honestly, that first season of Watchmen, it's the best thing I saw last year. It's the best thing we covered, isn't it, John?
Yeah, it was great.
And I think from, you know, this could just be a one and done. But it's, you know, let's see what the viewing figures are like. Let's see what the reaction's like. Let's see what the actual show is like. Because sometimes I like the idea that they could take the material further. Things like Handmaid's Tale, for example, on Hulu, which has done a fantastic job of taking the original material and then expanding it to multiple seasons. Now, yes, I think they might have gone a bit too far, but they still had a very good job of taking the material and making it into something more than the book, if you get what I mean. So that would be really interesting to see if they go in that direction.
Yeah, and I think with Lovecraft Country, the end of the book leaves it open for that story to continue, the one that kind of runs through it. You've got so many different characters that you could carry it on. And I think if they've got the right people, then they could do a really good job of it. And, you know, one of my fears is that they won't. But I think there's a good chance that they could do a really good job of that. And I definitely think it's worth us talking a lot more. And for John and for the listeners who haven't read any of the fiction behind this about that kind of background and what goes there, so might be worth us jumping onto that just after a little advert break.
Hello, yes, advert time here, and just to say, we're going to be posting this podcast on multiple channels, but if you could all go across to our new dedicated Lovecraft Country channel, that is Lovecraft Country Critical, and you can find that on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all the usual places. And if you could just go on there and subscribe, that'd be amazing. And then you get everything for Lovecraft Country right where you need it on that lovely little channel. We've had a good time in lockdown.
Yay.
As the Fan Critical crew, we searched around for ideas because as a TV and film podcast, you kind of need TV and film to be being made to actually podcast or anything, but that is a fact. But what we've done is at Fan Critical, which is our main podcast network, we decided that we all have closets of shame, and in those closets of shame we have lied to our fellow peers, fellow podcasters, and the listeners at times about what films we had actually seen when we hadn't. So let's, a perfect example is I hadn't seen Reservoir Dogs, which is mental. And I lied about it until my current age of 33. And then I told everyone, they went, what are you talking about? We have to do a podcast on that. So we did a podcast on it. And that is the show. Each time, one of us chooses a famous film that they've lied about seeing for years. Emma is the next one up. She hasn't seen Gladiator.
Yep.
Now that is ridiculous.
Honestly.
Okay, that is disgusting.
I think I actually tried to watch it a couple of years ago and fell asleep.
No.
That is mental. Don't even do this to me. Anyway, so we got those. We've got a load coming out. We did that. We did RoboCop, Reservoir Dogs, Aliens, Usual Suspects, Spirited Away. We've got loads of those now. John's running a little series called Worst of Netflix, which, you know, there's a back catalogue there, so go check that out. They did a one about Humanoids of the Deep. Yeah, terrible film on Netflix. There you go and watch them so you don't have to. And that's what we've been doing in lockdown. So if that sounds good to you, check out Fan Critical, our main channel, and please do subscribe to that. And if you want to be a mega fan or a mega listener, whatever you want to call yourself,
mega fan.
We love that, number one. Number two, you can go to patreon.com/fancritical, and on there you can donate some monies to us monthly, which enables us to get equipment, record extra podcasts. You can commission a podcast. You get access to our casted episodes where we recast famous films with alternative actors. It's really funny. So there's bonus content on there. If you do want to be a mega listener or a mega fan, just give us those dollary dues. Give us those sweet bucks. That's patreon.com/fancritical. We have a new Patreon that we want to shout out this week. You also get a shout out, so everyone write that down. You get a shout out. Andy Smith, thank you for joining the Fan Critical Blueberry Patreon system. We look forward to chatting with you on Discord. We look forward to discussing, hopefully, when this show comes out, what you think of this show. And yeah, just thanks very much for the donation. All that money will definitely go towards equipment and episodes, and not booze or anything like that, even though we do drink while we record. So technically that is equipment in a way. So thank you, Andy. Thank you very much. We really appreciate it.
Well done, Andy.
That's it for the advert this week. Done. It's a bit of a long finished one, but pluggy. Let's crack on with the, you know, hopes and fears and all that jazz of Lovecraft Country.
Hopes.
Over to you, Emma.
Fears.
Let's talk about the book that the series is based on, and some of the kind of background fiction. So I mentioned earlier that this is based on a novel called Lovecraft Country by Matt Ruff. Don't know why I'm talking like that. How very strange.
Yeah, why are you talking like that?
I don't know.
Loosen up.
It's my new podcast.
Loosen up, man. Limber up. Yeah?
Limber up.
Can't, I'm all stiff.
Yeah.
So from what I've seen of the trailers, it actually looks like it's sticking quite closely to the book, which is great, and we love that. So, Len, I'm gonna kick off with you. So because I've read everything, but you've been listening to the audiobook, which actually, and I know I slag you off for this, I've been doing quite a lot of packing. Well, sometimes, usually behind his back on podcasts that he's not on. So I've been doing a load of packing because I'm moving house, and actually it would have been really helpful to have listened to the audiobook instead of having to sit down and read the book. So I'm not gonna slag you off too much for this one. But what do you think of it? Talk to me.
I actually really enjoy the book. It you know what struck me about the book more so than anything is, and we'll talk about this, how we feel this is the direction the show is going to go in. It's called Lovecraft Country, so before you've even read it, you know, or anything, you think, okay, it's got Lovecraftian influences, and it does have these fantastical elements to it. But at the same time, it's the horror of actually just being, from the perspective you get given in this book, of just being an African-American traveling across America in 1950s. It's that sort of horror, which... Like John referenced Green Book, and I think that's a very good reference, because in the book, and this is no spoiler or anything, but there is the literal book, which is the safe places to travel, you know, if you're an African-American.
Safe ways to travel, prevalent isn't it? Throughout something the, like that.
Yeah, and yeah, it is based on
yeah,
the Green
Yeah, that's prevalent
book.
Throughout the book because Atticus's uncle, George, like, makes that book. So, it, you know, there's a family relation to it as well. And it's just the horrors of actually living in that time as an African American, which, you know, it's just relentless. It is relentless. Like, for the first half of the book, it's pretty relentless. That's sort of what people had to put up with is insane. And that's the true, like, horror of the book in a way, and everything else that happens around it sort of is obviously ridiculous as well, like big monsters and scary stuff. But it's that struck me the most. I wasn't expecting that as much as the other elements, You know what I mean? They're kind of secondary, the science fiction sort of stuff. So that to me was really big.
Yeah, I think it's almost like the human horror is worse than the supernatural horror. And I think like it's a really timely topic. I mean, that sounds like it's so dismissive, but it's a really timely theme, I think, is probably better, of racism. And I think it's odd, and it can be quite difficult reading a novel like that, because you do, as a white person, you read about the horrific experiences that, you know, it might be in a fiction novel, but you know full well that it's accurate. Not the monsters, the racism, and the violence, and, you know, the nature of white America against black Americans. And I think it's quite hard, because I feel very, very sad and angry that people are treated like that. But I also, you know, you've got that same thing of realizing that I don't really know how it feels. So I thought that Matt Ruff did an amazing job of portraying that in a way that you could understand, because you're reading it from the perspective of your main characters, who are all
these characters
of color.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose that's the irony, right? If you're a white person reading it from a black perspective, and you've got Atticus reading these comics that are, in theory, written and designed from the perspective of, I don't know, white superheroism or whatever.
Exactly.
It's clever, that, isn't it? Very clever.
It's very clever.
And that's it. And that's the end. That's the spoiler. That's how it ends.
I think what's also interesting is that our main character is called Atticus. So anyone recognise that name from anywhere? Any other fiction? So Atticus Finch from To Kill a Mockingbird by Harper Lee, which also has similar themes of racism and trial and, you know, that kind of race relations in a very similar environment, which I thought was really interesting and a really, like, really nice little nod to something like that. And there's some quite interesting work by Harper Lee around that kind of stuff. But I mean, John, have you ever read any kind of Lovecraftian
books?
Fiction? A book ever?
Books in general.
Books?
He's read comics.
Yeah, I've got a colouring book that's called Colouring Cthulhu. it's pretty good. I don't, but I wish I had now. Every page is just a tentacle. It's just one long tentacle, and you just turn
and you
it
stick
and
it
you
all
just
together.
You just have to keep the same color, otherwise it'd make no sense. All hail Cthulhu. He is the best. He is the best. It's fascinating, isn't it? What a weird thing for some, you know, stuffy old white fella from, I mean, when did he write this? In the 20s or 30s?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Emma, you were talking about being stiff. If you've ever seen a picture of H.P. Lovecraft, Jesus Christ, that guy doesn't bend. and yet he comes up with this mad fucking, like, god fish dragon thing.
That's spot on.
That lives
it's
in the
mental.
Sea. It is madness.
Lovecraftian and Gareth would, like, he's a massive fan of Lovecraft's literature. And it's like this cosmic, unimaginable, unfathomable horror that humans just can't perceive. And that's what makes it so ridiculous. And actually, like, things like Cthulhu and Lovecraftian horror has forged the way for science fiction horror like Alien, you know, and all this other, these other science fiction stories that have spanned our childhoods. You know what I mean? Like these creatures he created have in turn spawned these other creatures that we've been watching for decades. And they're just so bizarre. And I love horror that is very unsettling. And I love horror that is very just putting you at this form of unease, you know, this way of, like, questioning reality. And that is what Lovecraft did very well.
So Lovecraft is a very challenging guy, Mr. H.P. Lovecraft. And you are right, Len, that Lovecraftian fiction is so important in the building of science fiction as a, you know, as a huge cult genre, both in fiction and on screen, you know, incredibly important. I do have some problems with Lovecraft that I'd like to talk about.
We could talk about the main one.
Lovecraftian Anonymous, I think is what we might call this. Yeah, I mean, the main obvious one is that he is quite racist. And that can be really challenging to read. So actually the idea of the novel of Lovecraft Country is fantastic because it's like flipping Lovecraft on its head. So I read this the complete collection of H.P. Lovecraft, which is very long.
His short stories.
All short stories, some very short, some not so short. And there are a couple of things that I noticed. Mm. So I'm going to see, and I'll probably get shouted at by Gaz, maybe some listeners. What I notice is that Lovecraft only has three stories. He's got The Elder Ones and some hidden city that's either in a desert or in the Antarctic.
Mountains of Madness.
Or under the sea.
Mountains of Madness.
Yeah, Mountains of Madness, brilliant. I think the challenge I had is because I read them all back to back. I was like, fucking hell, get a new idea, mate. Do you have to keep talking about hidden elder cities? And then he does have some really interesting stories about like dreamscapes, which is really interesting, and a bit about space and that kind of shit, and then some just really creepy like monsters in big old houses in random little towns or like fish people. One of the things that so it made me laugh because I read one of his later pieces, which starts off with like a fictional conversation with a mate, basically, where his mate's going, look, nothing is unnameable or undescribable. You should describe it. Lovecraft has this habit of going, the horror was undescribable. I couldn't give it words that you would understand. It was just impossible to describe.
Yeah.
And you think, you're a fucking author. Can you just describe it, please?
Lazy.
It's uninterpretable. Like, that is the scariest thing. This feeling of insignificance for human beings in the cosmos and this cosmic horror that he tried to sort of, you know, put out there is terrifying to people, to feel insignificant and feel like, what, I can't even understand this architecture, this creature, this evolutionary system that has produced this creature, like we're talking about Cthulhu or whatever. So that's the idea behind him not being able to describe things, the idea that he doesn't want to describe things to the reader at times. And actually, I think that when his work is put into film, it's even more terrifying sometimes, because some of the things you see are just bizarre. Like, they're so weird. Like, I watched Colour Out of Space recently, which has Nicolas Cage in it, coincidentally. Ooh. And it's a fantastic little sort of indie movie, which is so fucked up. I mean, the special effects are a bit ropey at times, but some of the stuff in there is bizarre as anything. And you're just watching it. And I watched it with Gaz, actually. And you sit there at the end of it going, wow, that is... I can't understand what I've just seen. And it's that kind of idea, you know, and that is the thing about Lovecraft. But Emma, I think we also need to talk about, you know, like you referenced, the fact that a lot of he was a supporter of some forms of fascism. He was clearly a racist, and some of the things he's written literally have titles which are extremely racist, and the subject matter is extremely racist. And he was never, shy about letting his feelings towards any of that unknown.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? He was open about all of that to a disgusting degree, to be honest with you. And it's only something that I came to realize after reading a lot of his stuff and reading about him that I actually found this out about him. So I think, like you said, that's the...
I think it's a really difficult challenge, because the work, you know, having said everything I've just said, I really enjoyed reading Lovecraft because it makes you think, and some of the stuff he describes is bizarre, but what you clearly grasp from his fiction is that he is terribly afraid of the other, whether that might be a fish-headed monster or someone whose skin is another colour. And to an extent, it is kind of a consequence of his time, but it's not excusable. And I think by the point he's writing in sort of like the 30s, you'd think, come on, mate, you need to move on from this. And some of that gets really, really racist. And his background, when you realise his background, it gives it another tinge. Like, I recently read just some random like pulp novel thing, and after I'd read it and thought, this is brilliant, and then
sounds like erotica.
And then afterwards, I read an article about the author. He turns out to be an absolute nut job, like not a nice one, you know, like those nice Looney Tunes. he was absolutely batshit, and it totally coloured my whole perspective of the novel I'd read. And I think you get that with Lovecraft. So yeah. I think reading it now in 2020, I like to think we have a different perspective on the world, and of our fellow people, fellow human beings. And I think that it's easier to be critical, but also just to be aware and to acknowledge that he was a racist, fascist fuck. Basically.
Yeah.
But his fiction is really important.
Put that on the headstone.
To build all of the things that we love. Like, if we didn't have Lovecraft, we might not have all the science fiction and the comics that we really adore. So you kind of have to,
Now, I am very interested to see how this show will be looked at by an audience, and then whether any Lovecraftian work afterwards will be perceived in a different way.
Yeah.
So that's interesting to me.
But I think what's fascinating as well is that when you then look at what Matt Ruff has done, using very challenging fiction as part of your title and the background of a story that is about racist Jim Crow 1950s America is genius.
Mm.
But yeah, I think it's really interesting. And I can't wait to see how Jordan Peele and Misha Green put this on screen. And you know, JJ, obviously, but I'm more interested in Jordan Peele and Misha Green.
So, yeah, so, I mean, you just mentioned Jordan Peele there. I mean, this has heavy Jordan Peele vibes. I'll throw it out there, because obviously there's been a couple of different trailers, but the very first trailer, the teaser trailer, I think is my favourite. Because it feels very Jordan Peele, where it's like, you know, something's not quite right, but it's not that explicit that it's going to be supernatural and monster and all that shit. I mean, you know it's going to be, but you don't see it and you're not let into it. And then we get the most recent trailer and you've got like this fucking big spawn of Cthulhu right at the end, and it's like, oh, what's going on here? Can it was a bit revealing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like Get Out, for example. Like if you've not seen it, go and see it.
Fantastic.
That film. For long parts of the film, it's kind of like, you know, you're uneasy, but you're not quite sure why, and you're not quite sure what's going on. And the trailers. Or certainly the most recent trailer, it doesn't do enough of hiding that. So that's the only criticism that I would put out, is that it's like they're saying, look, we know it's fucking Lovecraft. We know it's going to be like way over the top, in your face. You've already mentioned Castle Rock, where it's all about mystery and it's trying to work out what's going on. Whereas in this, it's like, don't worry about that. Fucking monsters everywhere, right? And not just racist ones.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I'll be interested to see how that plays out in the show.
I think they're heavily leaning into it, which I think with the novel and stuff, you can't. The way that the book is structured, I don't think there's much room to do like a Get Out scenario where you can like leave people uneasy. And feeling like, oh, what's really going on here? You know, the book is, within the first few hours, you're sort of thrown into a supernatural situation.
Yeah.
And I think that'll be in the first episode. I'd be amazed if in the first episode there isn't something supernatural that you see. So they have to lean into it. I think they have to go for it.
There are also parts of the book where, you know, there is a mystery about certain characters and that side of it, which I think you could keep that tone. And yeah, you're right. That first teaser trailer was very Get Out-esque, wasn't it? It was very Jordan Peele. And that was what really excited me.
I think as well, like the latest trailer, that obviously the main trailer now before the show airs, where you see Cthulhu essentially at the end, that is trying to appeal to a wide audience at the moment. It's trying to appeal to people who like things like Game of Thrones, which has this supernatural element and all that sort of stuff, but also people who want to see something more grounded, and like you referenced Green Book, John, and all those sort of, and that sort of genre, which we're getting here as well. And it's that meshing of the genres, which I think is going to make this tonally a very difficult show to make. But the book does a fantastic job of it. And if they stick to the source material, I think it's going to be fascinating, because there's no reason to think that this couldn't be. This is like a whole new genre. I was saying this in the introduction, Emma. Like, it is like something that people haven't really seen before. And I hope that that translates well onto the screen. And I have no doubt that obviously with Misha Green, Jordan Peele and J.J. Abrams, I think they have a team of doing that. I mean, Misha Green, I haven't seen it, and I will confess I haven't seen it, but she did Underground, which is like talking about the Underground Railroads in America. So she was snapped up instantly by Jordan Peele to do this show and HBO. Yeah. So I'm excited to see what they make of it, because that's three people who hopefully, and this is the thing as well, like every time you see an executive producer on something, I'm a bit skeptical of their actual role in it. Like, what is their role? Like, you know, but from the trailers already, I can see Jordan Peele's, like John said, I can see his influence a little bit there already. Like you would assume, even in the construction of the trailer, it's very much similar to his Get Out trailer, his Us trailer, like the way it's constructed. The JJ stuff, I'm always skeptical about his involvement. So if he is involved, we know that JJ's style is mystery box. You know, that is his go-to style, like in terms of his TV stuff. So like John said, maybe JJ will try and tease the audience a bit more, you know, try and make that, you know, draw it out a little bit, give a bit of a tease. Whereas, you know, that maybe that's what the novel needed. Maybe it needed a bit more, you know, of a drawn out nature to it, because it is quite balls to the wall quite early on.
Yeah.
So I'll be interested to see if that's the case. But the trailer looked great. I loved it. I absolutely loved the new trailer.
I think it's interesting as well, because the new trailer appeals to a different audience. Like, it's the big jumps and scares and monsters for people who might have just dismissed the first teasers. You know, and it looks big budget, big bang kind of thing. But actually, I found it quite interesting, because having just finished reading as background for recording on this, I almost immediately watched this new trailer, and I was really excited by it, because there were bits in there where I was going, oh, I remember that from the book, and that was brilliant. So for me, I really liked it. The first teaser trailer, I had no idea what was happening. I was like, this just looks epic. But because I kind of know now, hopefully, what's going to happen in the show, I think it was really exciting for me. So I suppose it will, the teasers and the main trailer will maybe divide people depending on what they're looking for. Like, some people might just want that big horror, you know, the giant Cthulhu Demogorgon, whatever that big monster was. It did look like a Demogorgon to me.
So because of the size of it, they're saying it's like Starspawn, like the Cthulhu, well, not kids, but like just smaller spawns of Cthulhu, just because of the size of
100.
It.
100, yeah.
I think there's...
Yeah, I mean, Cthulhu itself is obviously unimaginable in scale.
Saving him for
season eight.
Yeah, I am Cthulhu.
What fucking tall?
What are your hopes, John? Then
yeah, he does.
What are your hopes, John, for the show as a show-nly? Because me and Emma sort of have we kind of know what's going down in a way. But what are your hopes?
I mean, this is going to sound a bit sad, to be honest, but you know, given that we're going to be podding on this for 10 episodes, I just don't by episode 4 want to be like, fucking hell, I can't be asked to talk about this shit. I mean, Westworld drained me badly. Okay, yeah, slightly different because I was hosting. It? So it's not like I could just turn up and do it on the night.
A lot more work.
Whereas with this, I can. I can kind of just enjoy it and not take notes. I suspect this will probably, regardless of whether or not it's, you know, just good or fantastic, this will probably do really well, probably better than Watchmen. I'm sad, actually, because I think a show like Watchmen, had that have come out now, where...
Oh, yeah.
Without spoiling too much of it, you know, I mean, you've got a fucking a black female hero who, I mean, she is fucking just fantastic.
Amazing. She's amazing, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she's on a fucking roll anyway. And then you've got this kind of this theme running through of a very kind of
racial undertones.
Yeah, very, very kind of fucking Ku Klux Klan kind of vibe. It would have been fucking fantastic.
And no one's watching anything at the moment because there is nothing new. Mm. Like, you know, it's that time now where if a good show comes out now, because most productions have been halted, most editing facilities have been halted, all this sort of stuff. It's actually rare that shows are coming out. You know, like Walking Dead finished its mid-season early. Like, weirdly, it changed its season finale like by 2 episodes because of post-production issues. But it's so many issues that means that if anything comes out now that is remotely good, like even something, I'm just going to say Tiger King, which is fascinating, obviously, and hilarious documentary.
Fantastic.
But look at how that blew up. Look at how that blew up. Because it was during lockdown and people were just like, oh, gobble this right up, num num num. And if this show is any good,
like the tiger that ate Carol Baskin's husband,
100%. Oh, spoiler warning!
Yeah. So my hopes for this are that, you know, every week I'm tuning in and I'm going, oh man, this is really good, rather than just sitting there going, what the fuck is this? This is shit.
Yeah.
Like style over substance. You know, I mean, it looks good. But I mean, look, by all accounts, it's got a strong like background, a strong source to pull on. So it should be fine.
Oh, yeah.
Anything that's not Westworld season 3, and I'm fucking all aboard.
He's all in. He's all in, man.
Like, I'm all in.
Nice.
That background canon of, you know, the actual novel that it's based on, but also the Lovecraftian stuff, for me is both kind of a hope and a worry, because we've seen some potentially really amazing shows lately based on like an author's canon go downhill quite significantly. Game of Thrones, Castle Rock. But I think I really hope it lives up to the base material. Like Matt Ruff's novel was spectacular. I really enjoyed it. It was exciting. It was gripping. But it also had like this tone of kind of kindness to it as well, which sounds a bit odd. You know, and I picked the word because I read it in one of the reviews and actually it felt to me like it described it properly, because it's not just all about the horror of people and the horror of supernatural, but it's also about the family ties and the relationships between the characters, which I thought was really special. Yeah. So I really hope that they maintain both that feel of the novel in the show, but also, like you mentioned, John, with that first teaser trailer, that kind of something's beneath the surface, but what is it kind of thing? Because the book is exciting. It is exciting. It's got some great stories in it. I think, you know, there will have to be some changes because of the structure of the book to how the stories are told, I think. But I think that they could do an amazing job of it, so I just don't want them to fuck it up. I mean, Len, what about you? Like, what are you hoping for? What are you scared of?
I just hope that they, and I don't have any doubt in the team behind it, so that's the thing, and I don't have doubt that HBO will do a great job. I just hope that they articulate the story in this 10-episode run effectively, and that they can translate the issues in the book to the screen effectively with the meshing of the supernatural. Because basically, as I said, it's a very tricky thing. If you describe the genre to someone, they'd be like, what is this? And that for me is what I think they're going to struggle with. But at the same time, it could be a massive hit because people will go, wow, this is the genre I didn't know that I needed, kind of thing. And that could be really powerful. Plus the fact that hopefully no one's watching anything else, so it will get a lot of viewers and it'll get a lot of exposure. Yeah. So I just hope that it, you know, obviously because we're talking about it every week, like John says, I want it to be good. You know, Watchmen was so much fun to cover because every week so I was like, good. I can't wait to talk about that episode. Mm. Yeah, and I hope that I'm the same. You know, me and Gaz were getting up at 5 a.m. here in Australia. I was getting up at 4:30 a.m., driving to Gaz's for 5 a.m. so we could talk about Watchmen. And we'd talk about Watchmen for like an hour and a half, 2 hours, yeah, every single week at 5 a.m. to 7 a.m.
Drink driving.
And I didn't. Yeah. Definitely not. And I didn't mind doing that because the show was so great. And, you know, when we podcast on something, yes, sometimes when we podcast on things that aren't great, it's actually funnier because we can sort of have a bit more fun with the show. But I found with something like Watchmen, and I think this will be the same because it's got little quirky elements to it, that if it does develop the way I think it will and have these sort of quirky tones but serious undertones and supernatural stuff, there'll be so much to talk about and it'll be humorous for us to discuss anyway, that I think it'll be a fantastic show to cover. So that's, yeah, I'm the same as John. Like, I just want to have fun with the show because we get the privilege of like having the ability to talk about it and have people listen to us talk about it. So that's, for me, I want people to enjoy us listening. Enjoy listening to us talk about it, basically, because otherwise, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, you talk about, you know, when you guys covered Watchmen, as a listener of that and watching the show, you could really hear how much fun you were having and how much you loved it, and that makes for a really good podcast, and I really hope that we get to emulate that to an extent with this.
Yeah.
I mean, so we've got, what, two and a half weeks-ish until first episode airs?
2.5-3 weeks. Yep. And in that time, if everyone could subscribe to this channel, that'd be amazing. Mm. So do that. Love Write Country Critical. Write a review
based on this wonderful preview podcast.
100%.
And, you know.
Yeah, wonderful.
Let us know what you think. You can get in touch with us on our social media channels. So we are at Fan Critical Pod on Twitter, which is John's little domain. Fan_critical on Instagram, which is me. Fan Critical on Facebook, where you'll most likely find Len. And you can email us at fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com. We love feedback, especially with stuff like this that's coming out. You know, any little tidbits that you might have that we haven't mentioned, you know, and thoughts about the series. But I think it's very clear that we're all pretty excited for this first episode. And when we start our proper coverage, Len will be bringing us Cthulhu Corner, which, like King Corner and Comic
Talking
Corner.
Talking
about the book.
Book spoilers every week.
How it compares.
In relation to the episode. Nothing further than the episode. Just how it compares. Any references.
And maybe some lovely...
So don't worry. No spoilers.
Lovecraft Easter eggs as well. You know, anything that comes in there. Or any other science fiction.
Oh, 100%. Mm. Oh, Easter eggs.
So thank you for joining me today, John and Len.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Emma. Thanks, Len.
And we'll see you in a couple of weeks for episode one.
Oh, hail Cthulhu!